This is the European edition of Breaking Banks, the world's number one fintech podcast and radio show. We bring you the European unicorns, startups, founders, regulators, and leaders innovating the rapidly evolving fintech scene today. A truly localized podcast with both English and local language content with some of the world's most well-known hosts and influencers in the fintech sector globally. Join us every week as we explore what makes the European Union a phenomenal proving ground for many of the fastest growing fintech plays in the world today. Okay, let's roll.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Breaking Banks Europe. Again, in our popular format of the ecosystem Zoom In, where we put the focus into how the different players in a given country are putting innovation forward, especially in the financial sector. And this time, we will deep dive into a quite interesting ecosystem, the Swiss one, together with our three guests that are joining me today. I am indeed very happy to welcome in this episode Anca Albu, Managing Director of the Swiss ICT Investor Club. Hello, Anca.
Hello, Francesca.
Then we have Mark Bernegger, web entrepreneur and fintech investor. Thanks a lot for joining us, Mark.
Yes, hello everybody, looking forward.
And finally, Gerrit Sinderman, the head of F10. Hi, Gerrit.
Hi, Francesca, and thanks for having me.
All right, guys, before getting into the discussion, I would like to ask each of you to present yourself a bit to our audience, try to understand a bit more about your background, your activities, and also the companies you are currently working for. Anca, do you want to start?
Of course, happy to. Okay, so I have been active in the startup ecosystem for the past 10 years, going towards 11th now. I was one of the first people to join the Startup Weekend team back in 2010. And for those that are not familiar with Startup Weekend, it's a global organization that does entrepreneurial education. It has been acquired by Techstars in the meantime. But yeah, once I started working with the startups, then I couldn't stop. So it's, I love it. It's just a great environment to be part of, always be surrounded by smarter people than me. And I lived in various countries since then. At the time in 2010, I was in US. And as life happened, about 3.5 years ago, I moved to Switzerland. And I switched sides from the startup side to the investors. And I joined the Swiss ICT Investor Club and have been with them since. And the Swiss ICT Investor Club, SICTIC, as we call it for short, is a nonprofit association that connects smart money investors to Swiss seed and early stage tech startups. We have a strong investor community of over 400 business angels that funded over 100 tech startups in the past 5 years. And overall, they supported the creation of more than 3,000 jobs in Switzerland. And since 2018, we also started collaborating with VC funds as preferred co-investors. And we became the largest and most active business angel network in Switzerland. And we have offices in Zurich, Lausanne, and Ticino.
Nice. Very impressive, Anca. Mark, please tell us a bit about your activities.
Yes, my name is Mark. I'm born and raised in Zurich. And I'm originally a tech entrepreneur. I founded my first internet company back in 1999 in the early days. And together with a friend from school, we started literally one of the first nightlife platforms here in Europe. It was more like a side project besides our studies, but we realized that it was able to finance our studies, and we sold the company later to Axel Springer, the German publishing house. And after that, I co-founded another internet company called Amyando, which was a ticketing solution, which was also acquired by a stock-listed company 4 years after the foundation. And after that, that was in 2010, I moved more on the investment side. As somebody born and raised in Zurich, I was always fascinated that the traditional banks were not really disrupted by the digital revolution like literally every other industry back then. So I started to focus on fintech. Back then, we called it Finance 2.0 because literally nobody was using the term fintech. We did quite a few investments in this field. One company went public in Singapore. And since then, I'm focusing on this space, mainly from an investment perspective. As a side effect, in 2012, I explored Bitcoin, also in the very early days. And today, I'm also quite active in the whole digital asset space. So my main activities today are digital assets, exponential technologies, and fintech-related companies, where I'm also sometimes in the board and try as an entrepreneur to help the founders also from an entrepreneurial perspective.
Yes, and we will have the chance to get a bit more into deep about all these activities of yours, Mark. Thanks. Gerrit, your turn. Tell us also about F10.
Happy to. So I'm originally German. So I grew up around Frankfurt, which also caused that I started my career in banking for the first 10 years. So really from classical apprenticeship at a bank to then due to the stock market interest, moved into a private bank, worked in equity research, and throughout the years, progressed in the bank, but got somehow infected also by the entrepreneurial virus very early on. So that meant that after moving to Amsterdam for 2 years with an ABN AMRO bank, I decided then to leave banking, or so I thought, behind me. And I came for my MBA to Lausanne, which I took at IMD. And there I also met my first co-founding partner. Back then we started in 2010 an SMS routing API service. Left that company, however, already in the first year, and since have been very much focused or stayed here in Switzerland, worked for the last 9 years in fintech in different setups, mostly in startups, from crowdfunding to online payments for digital content. Then also took 2 years, which I worked with Swisscom on mobile payments, so the first mobile contactless cards here. And before joining F10, was responsible for the international business development for a successful Swiss startup, more in the data and analytics space and personal finance management. And since mid of this year, I'm leading the Swiss operations of F10. F10 is a global accelerator network that meanwhile has hubs besides Switzerland, also in Singapore and in Spain. We have been founded about 4 years ago as kind of a spin-out from Zix, mm-hmm. But from the beginning was set up as a really independent entity also, and we have now quite a stable base of banks and insurances that are members here in Switzerland of the F10, and we are basically helping them to find innovative young tech providers while organizing programs, as most accelerators do, where we organize mentors, coaches, trainers, while exposing the startups frequently to all the different stakeholders in our ecosystem. So really from the corporates to broker some collaboration or POCs, and of course investors as the other urgent need for any early entrepreneur. And we have done that quite successful. So in the last 4 years, which were mainly here in Switzerland still, we helped more than 100 startups progress and also raise significant funding. Yeah, and that's quite an exciting space, and now internationally nice. Bridging also the other markets.
Definitely it is. All right, so let's now getting into the real discussion, and I would also like to start with you, Gerrit, actually. So From an external point of view, if I think about Switzerland, to be honest, the first thing that comes up into my mind is the home on bank of banking, I would say, right?
Yes.
So, but in my mind, of course, there is this traditional, old, established image. Mm-hmm. Of course, with a lot of expertise coming from big international groups, a lot of corporates, as you were mentioning, a lot of boutique firms, but also with a lot of legacy, I can imagine.
Yes, sure.
On the other side, what I can see is that this industry was somehow able to kind of shed its skin and push forward an incredible fintech ecosystem. Kind of, allow me to say, switching from a suit and tie kind of style to a more t-shirt one. And given the strong ecosystem we see, I truly believe that Switzerland is one of the best places currently to test the ground for collaboration models, especially within the financial sector. So given your role as head of F10, how do you see Switzerland position in this? How do you see these two different souls?
Yeah, no, I think you raised already some valid points, and I think there's probably quite a few perspectives to take on it. So one, as you said, is definitely like with banking or financial services and insurance being a strong industry factor strong verticals in Switzerland, that definitely helps. And you also see that, for example, on a quite high per capita number of fintechs compared to other European countries. On the other side, of course, banking is not banking. So you have maybe different types of financial services that are maybe more predominant here. So a lot of like wealth management, asset management. Of course, in every country is also retail banking. But the Swiss market in that way is also maybe like quite a special one in the context of the European neighbors.
Yeah.
It's a quite small market, although quite a rich or less price sensitive market. It has quite strong tech universities, which together like with the industry is quite helping quite some interesting startups to raise. At the same time, I would say the Swiss banking industry is also, because it's a small ecosystem, some parts also like in terms of like defending maybe against some new trends or the regulator being a bit more hesitant in like forcing change. Some of the changes that you see outside Switzerland are finding its way only like with a time gap into Switzerland, like open banking, for example, is not yet
a
very strong topic here. So that determines then also a bit like the type of startups that we find here in Switzerland.
Yeah, which is actually quite peculiar, since other trends that we are going to maybe explore later in the discussion, mm-hmm. that are not so clear, let's say, or so pushed forward in other geographies, they are in Switzerland. Also, what I was thinking is that the way to define a good ecosystem is what you were mentioning as well, the access to capital and the possibility for startup to be invested in. And I think we are quite lucky to have Anca here, because as you were saying at the beginning, Anca, you are successfully managing an angel investment network with more than 400 business angels. So it's quite impressive, considering that this trend is actually growing a lot in Europe. Mm-hmm. But I have the feeling that in Switzerland, it's kind of much more developed than in other places. Could you help us maybe try to understand a bit more about the investment landscape in Switzerland when we talk about fintech investments? What's going on over there?
Sure, happy to. And, just to go to back a little bit to the point where you said, that Switzerland has advanced quite a lot in the past 2 years, even though it's been known to be a traditional country. But, I've been here only for 3.5 years. And one of the things that I love about this country and people here is that you know, once they understand why there is a need for change, they are very fast in adopting it.
Yeah, it's opportunity driven, which is very good because exactly. I think you can get the change.
Yeah, it's in the nature of the country as well, you know, being a multicultural setup from the beginning. They really look for opportunities and how to collaborate. And yeah, I think it's really great. And in terms of the investment ecosystem, there are quite a lot of organizations that are supporting the startups overall. You know, so you have organizations like InnoSuisse that is doing a lot of training, you know, coaching and even funding of startups to angel investor clubs. We are obviously not the only one. There are quite a few others like Business Angels Switzerland and Go Beyond and Start Angels. Yeah, there's quite a few. And of course, foundations that help startups with grants, which I personally don't. I think it has its value, but at some point it's too many. So the last time I heard about how many grant organizations are out there, there were 38. And I think it makes it very easy for founders to just rely on grants rather than pushing for investment or for growth or fast growth. But, you know, it's definitely good to have them, especially in the early stages. And then, of course, we have the VC funds, and we have a few quite large ones like Red Alpine, then Alpana, you know, Index Ventures is active as well. And what is really great to see is that we have new VC funds that are being set up by entrepreneurs. And I think these are really valuable because these type of investors really understand where founders are coming from, and they can help them a lot.
Yeah, because many times, of course, as you were saying, you know, smart money are the key factors in many times when you invest in a startup. So, and I think you experienced that also in your angel network. So it's very good point that you mentioned that yes, from a VC perspective, there is also an entrepreneur involved.
Exactly. And us at SICTI, we really focus on the smart money, you know, the smart aspect of the funding. We don't just want investors to put money on the table and not really get involved in what's happening with the startups. We want them to help the startup with their network, with their experience, to be there for them whenever they need them. And this really showed during COVID as well, because a lot of startups did have issues and a lot of investors jumped in and helped them, you know, not just with bridge runs, but with connections and
of course
with strategy, you know, how to keep going during crisis. And of course, corporate ventures are pretty active as well. You know, the big organizations here like Swisscom and the PostFinance, they have a corporate venture arm, which is quite active as well. And a lot of these are very focused on fintech.
Yeah, of course. And I believe it's also a matter of course of education many times to get the corporate side used to this kind of investment, but also on the other side, wealthy people, I would say, or former entrepreneur to get the chance to invest in fintech startup. Because what we see also around Europe is that there is a lot of liquidity going around, but not so many established initiatives for angel investors that can actually jump in. So it's very interesting your activities and this overview you gave us.
Thank you. And I think it's important to collaborate really in the ecosystem. You know, like you have the angels, but they will not know everything. And this is why we started this preferred co-investor program where we have VC
collaboration. Yeah, exactly. And I think we will see it quite a lot talking about Switzerland, this aspect of collaboration and cooperation. So let's keep talking about startups. And my next question is more for Mark. You define yourself as born and raised in the city of Zurich, which is very popular and clearly special hubs when it comes to startups and fintech startups. Also, because what I was reading recently in the news is that an estimated 10% of all European fintech businesses are now based in Switzerland, and mainly the majority of them in the city of Zurich, which is actually quite an interesting number because considering the size of Switzerland is something very important. So what do you think is the difference, if there is any, between hubs and cities in Switzerland? Because we see a lot of differences in other geographies. For example, I can see that in Germany and also in the Netherlands, many times you can put a theme label or a focus label next to a city. It is the same in Switzerland, or there is any heterogeneity in terms of where do I set up my startup?
Yeah, I would say Switzerland is a very small country, right? So there are not that huge distances in between the cities, and ultimately we don't have that many big cities. But I would say there's definitely a certain wealth management cluster in Geneva, Lausanne, especially Geneva, where you historically have a lot of private banking activities. And for example, in Zug, you definitely have the whole crypto blockchain related cluster. And Zug is just 20 minutes away from Zurich. So I would say in other countries, that would be still the same city.
Like Zurich, but yeah.
You have far more crypto related companies in Zug than in Zurich. And I think Zurich has the biggest city, people-wise, but especially also economic-wise, you have a little bit of everything. So it's a little bit similar like with the banks, right? I mean, you have a lot of bigger banks and asset managers, wealth managers in Zurich and Geneva, and that it's also where you normally have the startups somehow in following these clusters. And Zug, yeah, that's definitely unique that you have a city with 30,000 people, which is so strongly connected in this whole ecosystem, and even on a global scale, so not just in Switzerland itself, but with a global outreach. And I think most of us are familiar with the term Crypto Valley, Zug, or even Crypto Nation Switzerland. So that's definitely something quite unique here, I would say.
Yeah, and I will get the chance to ask you more about that later. And of course, it's normal to think that hubs are creating also in where the concentration of corporate, a higher concentration of corporate is, also because in this way it's much more easier probably for startup to get in touch with their potential client, potential partners, potential investors. And I want to keep talking about this relationship between corporate and startups, also because even before Anca was mentioning the importance of many initiatives coming from, for example, CVC fund, I was actually reading recently that even UBS Group has launched the UBS Next with, I think, roughly 170 million euros portfolio to invest in fintech startups, which is quite impressive. And I see around a lot of initiatives like that. So I want to ask Gerrit to give us a bit more insights on the relationship between corporate and startups in Switzerland. How do you see that? I mean, they are still two different worlds colliding, or are they coming together? Do you have any concrete case of success to share with us? Tell us a bit more.
Sure. No, I think like over the last few years, I think fintech and also to a good degree insurtech have become really quite accepted normal. So I think after the initial maybe storming phase, like when there was a lot of talk about disruption, I think now anyone who's talking about the relationship between fintechs or insurtechs and the corporates, it's really much more on talking about collaboration. And I think especially Switzerland is also like has one strong characteristic, and that is like that it's very collaborative, very consensus oriented, and that also means that when you have a discussion with clients, you have them often like on a quite open and really collaboration focused level. And we see that also like when for example the F10 corporate members engage with our startups, there's little formalities that you waste time with. And I think it has moved really also beyond this phase that we had before, maybe where it was just simply cool to be somehow associated with fintech. Yeah. Now you see much more the use case oriented discussions. You see that also different corporates are progressing in their maturity, which I think is an important factor. I mean, you have always like the maturity on both sides. Any early stage startup, of course, has its learning curve, but also any big corporate. And as soon as those are matching, you have quite a fruitful discussion and collaboration. And we had, for example, like some, as being an accelerator that is focused on two verticals with insurance and financial services, we try, of course, to find startups that are catering to both verticals. Yeah. And some of this is, for example, a company like EnterpriseBot, who are helping corporates to get the automation on the conversational processes. And they have been early on engaging with all our corporates and are now you see them being implemented, and it's tangible results about double digit progress in terms of like support call reduction, and these kind of use cases are now becoming more and more known, and that also reduces a bit like the maybe previous hesitation of corporates to work with young tech players. And I think that's an important factor. Just as on the investor side, having successful exits, I think the same is on the corporate side, that you want to see cases where it simply works, and that stimulates them much more.
And I believe your role with F10, it's quite crucial, like being a sort of intermediary or sort of a translator between the different needs of the stakeholders and startups on one side and the corporates on the other. All right, so we go now for a very short break to hear from our sponsor, and we will be back very soon with a discussion with our guests.
The FTS Group builds innovation ecosystems. We engage incumbents, investors, entrepreneurs, technology partners, and regulators to build trusted and connected fintech tribes around the world. We firmly believe that innovation in financial services will truly improve people's lives. Learn more on ftsgroup.eu.
And welcome back to our show discussing about the Swiss fintech ecosystem. We have focused already on how the landscape is shaped in terms of startups, corporates, investment, getting a bit more into the apps. But I want now to keep following the discussion and deep dive a bit more into trends. Of course, we were mentioning before the Crypto Valley and the hub of Zurich and its connect satellite Zug, and we are actually quite lucky to have Mark here, which is an early investor in that space. And you know what I find always very funny to remember is that I think I was in Zug a couple of years ago, and for me it was quite surprising to see that like in 3 minutes, not even 3 minutes walking, I was passing from an incredible innovative hub with brand new buildings and innovation centers and so on. And then 3 minutes after, beautiful green fields with the cows and all sort of animals. So this completely difference between the two sides, that it's actually a kind of dichotomy that I always see in Switzerland. Like, even if I think about crypto, I see the traditional Swiss values of independence, confidentiality, trust, and so on. And then the bet, allow me to say, or the looking forward focus on a huge potential sector like the crypto one, that it's not everywhere so fully comprehended. So my question for you, Mark, it's actually on this. You have the privilege or the general attention to this sector as an investor and also as an entrepreneur, also with your effort in the Swiss Blockchain Federation. So I want to understand from you, how do you see all this coming together in Switzerland? What was the advantage to focus on this specific sector for the Swiss ecosystem, which of course goes even beyond fintech? And how do you think this is going forward?
Yeah, I think there are a few reasons for that. One is definitely that some of the most relevant early developments of the whole industry were happening here in Switzerland. As most people don't know, one of the few Bitcoin Core developers and some of the people in this community are based in and around Zurich and Zug. So literally the foundation of this whole blockchain revolution has very strong roots to Switzerland. Vitalik Buterin and Ethereum is still based in Switzerland. And when the whole project started, they were mostly here in Switzerland. So we had Vitalik Buterin at events even before they started Ethereum, and literally nobody was really caring about these projects. We have Tezos Foundation, Cardano, all these big multi-billion dollar projects are based here in Switzerland. So I think it just started very early here for several reasons. One is definitely our regulatory framework, the decentralized mindset here. I think people from a political perspective are used to a certain decentralized government and a political system. So that's why perhaps the blockchain technology is a little bit in the blood of everybody here. And then I think additionally, and that's more what's happening right now, we have a very blockchain and decentralized friendly regulatory framework. As you might know, we have a few fully regulated banks in the digital asset space. We have, for example, Crypto Finance Group, where I'm in the board. We were the first fully regulated asset manager only doing digital assets, which was quite a big thing 2.5 years ago. So a lot of developments, not just from a foundation technological perspective, but also from a regulatory perspective, are happening here. A lot of Swiss investors, mainly family offices, are quite heavily investing in this field. So all the famous US funds and asset managers are quite regularly in Switzerland because they find a lot of demand for their activities. And that's why I think it's a combination of that. As we all know, Switzerland is, again, a small market, but we have some elements which might be helpful to start out of Switzerland. And that's why I think we have a lot of potential also to continue this path as this crypto nation Switzerland to really be in the forefront of also future developments. And I think it's exciting that normally I remember when I was more into the traditional fintech world, I always had to go to Berlin, London, Silicon Valley, and where all the tech hotspots are. And now with the whole digital asset crypto space, it's the opposite, right? So people from all over the world, they come to the crypto valley to somehow see what's happening here. And that's definitely something which never really happened in Switzerland so far.
Definitely. And I have to say that I was really pleasantly impressed. It's a very beautiful and interesting place to be. Anca, let's keep talking about trends. Of course, we've just touched upon crypto with Mark, but I'm also curious about other trends that are coming up in Switzerland. Especially, I'm interested in understanding what's the investor, your network of investors are interested in. Recently, I've read a news about the launch of a green fintech network from the Swiss government to identify new measures that will improve the operating environment for startups involved with sustainable finance and tech related. So I can imagine that investment in the sustainable business is quite low right now in generally in Europe, because probably it's too risky, or there is also, I think, a low long frequency of return. But I think also these kind of initiatives are quite interesting because are boosting this kind of companies. Do you have any specific opinion on that? Do you see actually that the investment groups and the VC funds you are in touch with are maybe a bit more interested in this kind of topics of sustainable investment or not really? It's still not a thing. And if not, what other topics are they interested in?
That's a very interesting point that you bring. And the Green FinTech Network is an initiative that is now in the works. And I think it has a lot of interest from all the parties involved in supporting the FinTech ecosystem. You know, and that includes accelerators and VC firms and even universities, consultancy firms and NGOs. So everybody is working together. And I believe that the State Secretariat of International Finance put together a group of these type of profile organizations to work together and come up with the plan. You know, because I think that Switzerland, being such a small country, and is very oriented towards, you know, it's supportive of climate change and all these initiatives. So it's definitely something that is interesting to all the parties involved. And I really believe that it's going to be at the forefront of these type of initiatives in Europe. The Green FinTech and sustainability as well. I think this is really in the initial stages. So there's still a lot of awareness that needs to be built in this aspect, but it's definitely getting there.
We will see how it's going to go. Curious to see that.
Exactly.
And of course, we need to talk also about the current times. And this is a question I would like to address to all of you. Because, of course, this year was a kind of a weird year for everybody. And we have seen, in terms of business, a lot of companies challenged to change their operating processes and turn into a more digital application in a very short time. So I can imagine that even in Switzerland, you should have seen a lot of corporates looking for partnership with fintechs in order to speed up the processes and match customer needs, or in general, speed up their digital processes. So from your perspective, how have you seen this year when we talk about more about the corporate aspects of that, but more also on the fintech startup side? Like, how do you think they have faced this pandemic in terms of business, but also in terms of investment? Because even Anca before was mentioning the fact that they could have much more problems in getting liquidity in this period.
Okay, so from our perspective, you know, since we're also very well connected to the startups and we always receive applications for startups that are looking for funding, we haven't seen a slowing of activities. If anything, it was the opposite. First, because a lot of people had more time on their hands due to COVID, and they started, you know, their side projects that they were probably working or thinking about for a while. And also there were a lot of follow-on rounds, you know, from startups that needed more funding to keep going through COVID. And also the government was very supportive through this time, and they offered financial support to startups, which was really good to see. And for the corporates, I think, you know, like based on our discussions with corporates, there was a really high increase in activities in digitalization. And this is something obviously very good for startups when their projects. So I think that moving forward, this is going to be the way. And a lot more corporates will create a VC arm and they will start looking more towards startup. And, you know, UBS is a very clear example of this.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned earlier, that they started UBS Next, even during COVID, you know, and start looking towards startups.
I mean, I can fully second that. I mean, we've seen maybe like also a few different effects. One was definitely that, I mean, if you come with something like very innovative that no one has in use yet, of course, in the beginning, much of the entrepreneurial task is the trust building, and much of that happens in between people. And I think the more advanced or like revolutionary the tech is, it not necessarily helps if you're not having something that is already known. And that, yeah, the customers now maybe just get a higher sense of urgency for, because that we have also seen. I mean, any bank or insurance has obviously seen immediately, okay, we need to be ready for communicating and doing business on all digital channels. And I think that has definitely been a booster. On some other parts, like business development, we have seen that a lot of startups also said, yeah, the priorities sometimes changed and discussions take a bit longer. But overall, I think it has been definitely a good reminder that, yeah, digital is not a question of yes or no, but more when. And I think the sense of urgency overall has increased, definitely.
Yeah, so probably turn it into kind of opportunity, as many are saying. Mark, your perspective.
Yeah, I mean, perhaps to add from, again, a little bit more digital assets perspective, I think that's obvious. If you look at the developments, I mean, the whole side effects of the whole COVID crisis, meaning the government activities and the money printing, definitely helped the whole space massively. I think we never saw that many big players moving into this space than in the last few weeks. A lot of very famous macroeconomic followers changed their view and perspective, especially on Bitcoin as a potential future digital store of value, digital gold, and a new alternative asset class. So that's why in this field it was a huge boost. More and more people realize that if you just print additional money that perhaps solves the problem in a short term, but ultimately the consequences will be massive for the whole economy. And in this specific field, and that sounds always a little bit drastic, but COVID definitely had a huge positive impact on the industry, which also accelerated the whole perspective. Yeah. And yeah, it will be interesting how the whole situation evolves. I mean, I also have no advices to the politicians. I think it's an extremely difficult situation, but for digital assets in general, it was a huge driver of adaption.
Yeah, of course, nobody has a crystal ball, but definitely, as you all were saying, this forced many companies to accelerate in a tremendous way. So hopefully in some time we will see the, let's say, positive side of this whole period. All right, before ending this session, I would like to ask another question, a really short one to each of you, about the advantage of the Swiss fintech ecosystem. And from my perspective, for example, when I was preparing this episode, I bumped across so many network, association, federation that gives me the impression that in Switzerland there is quite a very good sense of collaboration, and the idea that putting together the stakeholders can bring everybody benefits. Am I right, Gerrit? What do you think is the Swiss secret sauce in this sense?
No, I think you articulated it very well, and I said also earlier that for me, even or especially as coming from the outside to Switzerland, the collaboration and the consensus orientation is really a strong glue. And I think, like, for if you wanna like leverage that, of course you need to find if you're, for example, coming from the outside and entering the Swiss market, or you're just starting your business, you need to find the ways how to get into the circle. Once you're in the circle, things go quite smooth. So you need to find early some supporters, mentors that are explaining you how the local ecosystem works, and then you can be can hugely benefit from us from this. And that is also something that where we put a lot of value in the program, to bring really like people with industry knowledge, with the local ecosystem knowledge, to put them into the side of the startups so that they can better understand and like save a lot of like learning time.
Definitely. And Anka, from an investor point of view, what makes Switzerland a good ground to invest?
That it's a very rich country.
we all know that. Yeah, definitely.
It's not just the fact that it's rich, but the people are very interested.
Are willing to invest.
Learning new things, yes, and willing to invest. And, you know, our investors, the business angels, they do this as a hobby. They invest in tech startups as a hobby to stay relevant, to see the innovation before it gets popular, you know, the new projects that we have in the ecosystem. So I think that's the need and the curiosity of Swiss people is something that definitely helps the whole investment ecosystem, you know. And and we do have a lot of collaborations, and us as an organization, we try to be very transparent and always work with as many as possible. And, you know, we always work with the other angel investor networks as well. When we have a round that needs more investors, we reach out to the others and send them basically that project. Like, hey, do you have angels that want to invest with ours? I know. So these type of collaborations, I think, are very positive.
Great, thanks. And Mark, last one, more on the entrepreneurial side, what do you think makes Switzerland a good place to set up your startup?
Yeah, I think we have a very liberal and entrepreneur-friendly framework, right? I mean, as everybody knows, the salaries are very high in Switzerland, especially if you go to Zurich or Geneva. But on the other side, if you are in a high-value-driven businesses, it's normally an international market, so the differences are not as relevant as perhaps in other industries. Yeah. And additionally, I think you have a lot of knowledge and core competences in certain industries. I mean, when it comes to asset management, wealth management, you have literally still the biggest offshore wealth market is tiny Switzerland, right? So that's why if you're in specific fields of fintech, I think you have a perfect ground. I think it's difficult if you only target the Swiss market. So that's why most successful Swiss fintech companies, they move out quite quickly. And if you have, for example, in our case at Crypto Finance Group, we have an outpost in Singapore. We have shareholders from China. So you can then bridge two continents or go west and go to the huge North American market. So that's why I think in certain industries of fintech, the Swissness is definitely helpful for talent and for the whole initial phase. And then if you want to grow, you have to go out and scale as quickly as possible. I think that's literally the case today for every startup, right?
Yeah, man, it's very interesting what you were saying, because even though it's a small market, of course, it's a small country, you turn it into a very good opportunity, connecting with other hubs and other country, giving the startups the opportunity to scale up abroad, which is very good. All right, I think we covered quite a lot of topics today, and we can actually call the day. I want to thank you all for being with us today and share your precious insight. Thanks a lot, Anca. Thanks, Gerrit. And thanks, Mark.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
Thanks a lot.
Hope to have you soon in another episode, guys.
Great. Looking forward.
And of course, thank you very much to our audience for having tuned in. Remember to follow Breaking Banks Europe on all streaming platforms and social media. I am Francesca Liberti, and see you all next week. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to Breaking Banks Europe, a Provoke Media podcast in cooperation with FinTech Stage. Don't forget to tweet us out, shout out, or post to the team at Breaking Banks EU on Twitter. If there's something or someone you'd like to hear on our cast, let us know. See you next week on Breaking Banks Europe.